The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Indeed, I'm live, and I'm sitting here broadcasting, thinking about a very interesting pathway topic to segue something that I got a little bit of better insight on this weekend. And why is that? Well, because I travel a lot, and I went to a conference actually on regenerative medicine down in Sarasota, Florida. It was kind of a fast couple of days. I was there less than 48 hours, I think something like 40 hours or so. Anyway, it was amazing. There were some brilliant people there. A very good friend of mine, Dr. John Lawrence, who has a clinic in Sarasota. He actually built a brand new place, 10,000 square feet. Beautiful, beautiful facility. Sees cases that are basically cases that nobody else can fix, and they fly in to see him from a lot of different places. But at the end of the day, we've gone back and forth over time, and he's taken some of my input, and I take a lot of his and the like. And I'll be here for about another, if you will, 20 hours, and then I'm flying to Chicago to teach tomorrow afternoon, and then I'm back here on Tuesday. And guess what? This Wednesday evening at the Result Center in Fairfax, we have a very special program for you. And guess who's doing the program? Yours truly. I will be your presenter, and we're going to be talking about a subject that many of us really don't appreciate how significant it is relative to your health, whether it's neurodegenerative diseases, depression, immune conditions, even aging, heart disease, cancers, fighting infections. And we're going to talk about a miracle molecule called melatonin. And, you know, melatonin is something that you produce when you're sleeping, but we're going to get into that intimacy. But we're going to take it from a very different standpoint. We're going to talk about an initiator of depletion of melatonin because of trauma, because of an impact. And we're seeing so much of that over the last, 2.5, 3 years now coming up, you know, with the viral patterns, and people have other things that take place, and we're trying to put together the why behind it. Well, I'm going to give you a big why this Wednesday evening when it comes to the depletion of this very and probably singularly most important hormone in your body, melatonin. It is a hormone. And we're going to talk about that today on the program. And by the way, we're here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Give me a call. Love to talk to you on any subject, whether it's this one or something else that we've got going on. But let's start with this. You know, this Wednesday evening, I'm going to get into details of how this miracle molecule, melatonin, can be depleted from trauma, from injury, and sometimes injury that took place years ago and slow depletion. But, you know, to begin with, the hormone melatonin is produced by the pineal gland. It's a small little pea-sized gland that sits towards the back of your head, kind of in between where, you know, your throat and the back of the base of your brain starts. And it sits and houses right in there. And it's active, meaning it produces its hormone at nighttime. And those of you who can't sleep and you wonder why, this may be part of it, or that sleep may be depleting this. It's a catch-22. And we're going to discuss that intimately, and we're going to talk about the infections that you can't seem to get rid of, or many of you got really sick during this COVID experience, we can call it that, right? And you wonder why you were more susceptible than other people. We're going to talk about the impact it has on sometimes with Alzheimer's patients and other neurological degeneration and depression. You know, you can't get out of that anxiety related situation. And your immune system is just not working well. You come up with things like Sjogren's, or you come up with lupus, or you come up with other immune depleting conditions, even heart disease and the potentiation of cancer. So we're going to touch on a lot of those stuff, but you know what? We can't do it all in one evening or one program, but we're going to get into that neurological mechanism. We're going to talk about why the pineal gland is so susceptible, because one of the things, by the way, it becomes calcified. It becomes hard. we are exposed to too many things in our environment. One of them is fluoride, and fluoride dramatically decreases the ability of the pineal gland to produce melatonin. It actually crystallizes. It makes it hard. And we'll get into that in depth this Wednesday evening as well. So, you know, we want to know what the energy platforms are. You know, melatonin also supports mitochondria. Mitochondria are your energy packs within the system. And if the energy is not being produced at high enough levels, you don't have the wherewithal to get it back together. But again, let's get into this a little bit. We're going to touch on some subjects that we may not get into this Wednesday evening. But this Wednesday evening, the 7th, December 7th, 6 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax, I will be your presenter. I'm going to co-host with Dr. Jerry Cowart. Dr. Cowart will be with me, but I'm going to do the lead on this thing. And we're going to talk about, you know, the understanding the role of what happens when the blood-brain barrier is not working. We've all heard that terminology. You know, interestingly, the pineal gland, despite being part of the brain, you know, during the formation in fetus, the embryological state, if you will, is situated outside the blood-brain barrier. Isn't that interesting? Even though that it's within the brain, it's outside the blood-brain barrier. It loses its direct connection with the brain, by the way, or the central nervous system. So it's like a standalone, but it has an impact, like the conductor, the orchestrator. It has an impact on everything that takes place within hormonal distribution, regulation, circadian pathways, all those things. So we have to understand why that is and, you know, how is that secretion modulated? So let's talk a little bit, just a little bit about the effect, the pharmacological effects of melatonin on the body. And then we're going to get a little bit on trauma as we get into the program and what happens when you even had a bump in your head years ago. And then the impact it has to exogenous chemistries. And we talked about one called fluoride. So the difference between the physiological effects produced by melatonin that's secreted in the body and the pharmacological effects created by outside exogenous melatonin needs, you really have to understand it clearly to understand what we're going to be talking about. Physiological dose of anything refers to the level within the blood, the plasma, if you will, of the same magnitude as that would be produced during its peak. In the case of melatonin, it's nighttime, because the high peak for melatonin production is between 1 and 4 o'clock in the morning. And we have to understand that. So, you know, those of you who are waking up all night long or not getting to sleep, getting into that deep state of sleep, you're not producing this thing. It's not going to work well. So we have to make sure that we understand when it optimizes and when we want to make sure that pharmacological level is at the highest possible. When a lower dose of any drug, but particularly melatonin, because we're talking about that, is used, a small, mitigated, narrow, if you will, hormonal signal is created that may not mimic what it is that we're trying to expect relative to its effect, its impact on endogenous secretions or internal secretions of the different organ systems. So the cascade of things that can happen is huge. And so we want to make sure that, you know, we're targeting things as they need to be. Many of you go to the store, and, you know, you're not sleeping well, and somebody told you that you need to have a little melatonin. In the last couple of years, they told you that melatonin helps raise immunological responses, and it does. But you're going and you're taking a milligram, you're taking 2.2, you're taking 3, you're taking 5, and you're getting some effect maybe, but you're not getting the effect that you suspected. Well, there's only about 2.5% absorption of some of these things that are in the marketplace. You have to take high enough levels, and you have to make sure that they're absorbed properly. You can do it through nasal sprays. You can do it through a liposomal. You can do it through rectal suppository. But when you take it orally, it is unlikely, unless it's liposomal, because liposomal has a very significant impact in direct pathway, that it's going to be of much help and it's not going to work really well. But there's products that we use that has a dose of 200 milligrams of melatonin. Many of you can say, wow, 200 milligrams? Yeah, 200 milligrams. It actually works extremely well with no side effect relative to imbalancing other pieces. And matter of fact, what you have to understand about melatonin is simply this. If you stop taking it, if you stop taking melatonin and you haven't fixed the underlying why it's not working, then the body resets itself back to what it was before you started taking the melatonin to begin with. It doesn't cause any damage. It's not any problems. There's a tremendous amount of studies out there. Brilliant scientists that have been studying this for years, but we get stuck into this little, you know, this little piece of the puzzle. But, you know, when you look at these impacts of high dosages, or if we want to use the term supraphysiological or superphysiological impact, higher than normal, it's amazing what you can reverse and begin to make better, particularly in long-standing problems like, long-haul COVID, like immune suppression, you know, due to some kind of exposure people have had over a period of many, many years. So we're going to talk about that in this Wednesday evening. I'm going to get into it intimately. We'll pick it apart. We'll do the best we can in the period of time that we have. We might even touch upon the mental, emotional stress patterns that come about as a result of not enough melatonin production. And then something happens like what? Trauma. So let's talk about trauma. And we'll carry that into the program a little bit. But let's say that you had a problem years ago. And you played football, you played soccer, you butted your head a couple times, you fell down, you had a car accident, your head was recoiled against the seat. All of those are problematic and they affect everything that's inside your brain. We talk about concussions, but that's only part of the story. Melatonin protects us from emotional stress. And when melatonin levels are very low, then stress goes through the ceiling. You know, I had a problem, 2.5 years ago when I had a car accident, and what we found out that Epstein-Barr virus, like Lyme and other things, have a tendency to hide in the body, mold as well, mold illness, and it's in joint spaces, it's in other places, and some young lady decided to impact the back of my car at 55 miles an hour, snapped my head back, and went through all kinds of things. And those of you who know the story, 6 weeks later, my heart stopped for a moment and I hit my head on the floor and smashed my head. And then all of a sudden, Tom was not Tom anymore. And we started seeing all kinds of symptoms and my body started acting very differently. And did melatonin have an impact? It could have had a major impact. And as we know, it probably did. So the pineal gland was disrupted. And I'm going to get into that, what happens and why that happens. So we're coming up to a break, and I want to make sure that we're on cue today. But this Wednesday evening, the 7th, we're going to talk about this in depth. Join me. It'll be fun. I promise you it'll be a good time. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Got an interesting program for you and a surprise for you. I am going to be doing the in-house program at the Rozelle Center for Healing this Wednesday, December 7th at 6 p.m. in Fairfax. All you got to do is call the office, 703-698-7117, and let us know that you're coming. Or simply, we'll have it online. You can go and you can hit and register. You'll see it as you always do. Just let us know that you're going to be there so we can prepare for you. And Dr. Cowart will join me, and we're going to be talking about melatonin, but I'm going to be presenting some interesting facts. Melatonin is a hormone, and this hormone is produced by a gland in your brain called the pineal gland. And the pineal gland sits towards the back of your head. It's kind of isolated, as we talked about earlier in the program, from blood-brain barrier. Nothing can actually get to it, or more importantly, protect it from outside influences. And one of the things that disrupts its production is fluoride, and it causes it to calcify, it causes it to crystallize, it causes it to harden. So as we go through life, and often when we're children, we're already exposed to so much fluoride in so many different places that it can't receive its stimulation. So we can't go into normal sleep patterns. So in a day-to-day basis, when we're talking to everybody else, we're in a state called beta. When we get really excited and we're over the top, we're in gamma. Those are wavelengths. Those are frequencies. But when we slow down, you know, when you're like watching television and you're kind of zoned in and you're not aware of anything, that's called alpha. So that alpha state is you're kind of aware, but you're not aware. You're kind of out of it a little bit. And that's when you're the most programmable. And then you go into something called delta. Delta is the next level down, and then theta, and you're out of it. So we're going to talk about that impact, but you need melatonin at very high sufficient levels to be able to go into that. And if your melatonin level isn't adequate or is it disrupted in any way, and any kind of trauma, injury, or insult biochemically or microbiologically, you're going to go into a state of anxieties and depression like nobody can even begin to imagine, and things that won't let go. So you have to make sure that the sleep mechanism, the production of melatonin, is very high. But what else can trigger that? Well, we're talking about injury. And the body can be injured in a couple different ways. An overexposure to something microbiologically, like we just went through with viral patterns. And still, you know, on a day-to-day, we're always exposed to that kind of stuff. And we know that Epstein-Barr virus has a tendency to live within the body and stay there. Or trauma, injury, car accidents, falls. I said earlier in the program that I had a pretty significant impact about 2.5 years ago, and that caused my heart to stop 6 weeks later for a moment, and it kind of blacked out and I hit the ground and smashed my head. And so subsequently my melatonin production went down around my toenails. And so you end up with all of those problems of immunological depletion, emotional stress, and the like, and this list goes on. But we're going to talk about that this Wednesday evening. I'm going to walk you through what happens with trauma conditions. And the reason that trauma sometimes can be majorly impactful, as I said earlier, is that the pineal gland gets encrusted. It gets hard because of exposure to fluoride. It crystallizes. So the amount, the level that it produces is very, very low. But guess what? It can be reversed. And subsequently, when you understand that it can be reversed, many of the symptoms, most of the symptoms that are associated with that, whether it's infectious states or degenerative neurological diseases or depression and anxiety levels, and by the way, it affects aging as well, and things that affect your heart disease, direct influence by the pineal gland and melatonin production, all these things can be made much better. And you have to look at the trauma within the body physiologically, but you have to look at the effect of what's happening in this situation. We're talking about melatonin. So we want to make sure that we have the right pieces of information to identify it. And we're going to talk to you how you do that. And by the way, I'm here at 888-630-9625. If you have a quick question on this subject or anything else, happy to entertain that for you. I want to be able to direct you. I want to be able to put you into a place where you understand that you have the capacity to reverse virtually anything, but you have to understand the mechanism. And after all these years, I learn more and more and more to serve you, to help you figure things out as life continues to go on. We're coming up to a break. When we get back into the second half of the program, we're going to get more in depth into how this mechanism works and why trauma, why injury can really cause that Trojan horse effect, if you will, on the body, and why things don't turn out the way they're supposed to. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is a program that we all need to know much more about because I think it could help us across the point. Melatonin and neurological health due to trauma. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Talking about melatonin. you know, that thing that we like to go after to get us to sleep a little bit better. Well, it's a hormone to begin with. It's not a thing. It's not a chemistry like a neurotransmitter where it's produced in the intestinal tract. It can be produced from the pineal gland, and it has an effect on every other cell in the body. So why are we talking about it? Because there's so many of us that have had problems because of the inability to produce adequate amounts of melatonin. So not only that we can sleep, but we can support immunological function. So we can down-regulate swelling, inflammation in the heart and cardiac tissue, in the brain, in other organ systems. And it can be modulated, stopped, put down by certain things. And one of the things that we're talking about, the initiator can be injury, impact, blunting your head, or other exposures. One of the things that we talked about, which I'll get into Wednesday evening when I present the topic on melatonin, is exogenous exposures to things like fluoride and chlorides and the heavy metals. They're all called halides, but fluoride does a major input relative to damage when it comes to the pineal gland. And melatonin, if it's low level, guess what happens? Your blood pressure goes up. If it's adequate, you can drop it down. This is one of the interesting side effects of this. So the lack of melatonin can cause a blood pressure irregular pattern, particularly those of us who are cave dwellers. We mean that we're inside all the time. Yes, we take vitamin D because we need vitamin D to upregulate immune system, but we forget about melatonin. If melatonin is not at normal levels, our immunological responses and our physiological responses are going to be altered. And we want to make sure that they're at normal levels. So when we're, you know, suddenly our doctor puts us on antihypertensive drugs or anti-inflammatories and so forth, we're missing the why is that. And the why is that sometimes simply is not enough melatonin production that is produced by the pineal gland, and it's often triggered by injury. It's often triggered by outside exogenous things that we're susceptible to, meaning that we can't avoid, like what? Like drinking a cup of tea from our favorite restaurant and the water's not filtered, or eating a bowl of soup from our favorite restaurant that the water has not been filtered. We have to be very careful, and it's in so many other things. That produces the levels of fluoride and produces the level of other noxious substances, halides, that our bodies can't handle. And what happens with that? What happens with that is that we end up with other conditions like Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And any of our patients that come in and say, you have to stay away from halides. And we can get into that. And that's a source of a different subject that we can talk about later. According to another study that I had read as I was going through things, I'm going to quote something that's kind of interesting. Nighttime exogenous melatonin administration may be extremely beneficial for the treatment for sleeping disorders in beta blocker patients. So this was published, by the way, in the Journal of Cardiovascular Disease going back to 2011. It's a clear improvement in sleep quality that can be achieved with better control over blood pressure by combining the use of beta blockers and exogenous melatonin. So, and guess what happens is the need for the beta blocker drops. Interesting. And that's not me. This is a study that was published in Cardiovascular Disease Research. So when we see these things and we start tracing the worm backwards and we start seeing that there's so many other pieces of the puzzle that we're not asking the why behind, we're missing the puzzle someplace. So how do you know, if you're at a higher risk, you know, due to any kind of outside, well, you have to take a look at it. You start picking apart. You start asking the questions. You know, you can do testing to determine what kind of injuries and so forth and so on. You can ask about how this started, when it first started, when was the last time you felt good. But you have to look at everything from heavy metals. But more importantly, you go back to the place of asking, were you injured in any way? Meaning, was your skull hit? Why is that important? Because the spinal fluid that buffers the brain against everything, any impact between the skull sometimes is not adequate. It's not adequate because guess what? We don't drink enough water. And if we drink the wrong kind of water, then our fluoride levels are high. Catch 22, right? Well, there's ways of modifying this. Did we have any other input relative to anything else? Again, you have to ask the question. So several conclusions can be brought about that, for example, in cardiovascular health, it's incredibly important that we look at melatonin levels, because if we don't, then there's going to be an inflammatory reaction that's taking place that we can't control, and we try to suppress it symptomatically, as well as blood sugars and metabolic problems that are going on. Melatonin is critical in this arena, and the evidence is there. The research is huge, but why don't we look at it? Because it doesn't serve people. Melatonin is a very cheap, inexpensive product to control a lot of this stuff, and it's not adequate enough just to go over the counter and take 1.5, 2, 3, 5 milligrams. It says some patients, I'll give up to 400 milligrams for a short period of time and then drop the dosage, but it has to be done very specifically and concisely. And we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the mechanisms this Wednesday evening at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax at 6 p.m. Join me, and we'll have some fun. We'll really get into this. We'll talk about trauma-initiated conditions. We'll talk about the correlations between concussions and overtime breakdown in body's health, but it has a lot to do with this melatonin. We're going to talk about nighttime exogenous melatonin administration. And by the way, with some people, melatonin should be given in the daytime to upregulate immune response. And here's the thing. It's not going to put you to sleep, so you don't have to worry about it, as long as your eyes are open. Now, when you close your eyes and you stop the input of sun and so forth, then you got a problem. Then things begin to dysregulate. So, and by the way, I'm going to add another one in. How about melatonin and sex hormones? Did you ever think about that? Well, there's a direct correlation between melatonin and sex. That's one of the reasons, you know, who doesn't want to have, you know, improved sex life? You know, even as we get older, right? I'm sure the answer is pretty obvious. No one. You know, one way or the other, we like that. And, you know, when you're stressed, you know, guess what? You're not roused. You know, you could care less when you're locked into a day-to-day stress situation, whether you're physically, mentally, or emotionally stressed, it doesn't matter. Remember I said physically stressed, that means chronic pain, chronic inflammatory reactions, and so forth. So there's a body of research out there on melatonin in the specific area of health and wellness. Think about it, you know. When do you feel sometimes that you're at that, you know, sexy level of your life? It's at nighttime, right? And it's not necessarily during the day. Melatonin is doing its work on the initiation, the transport, and the capacity of your sex hormones to do what they're supposed to be doing. In puberty, these steroid hormones, you know, they help you grow and they help you develop. After puberty, in your later years, you know, it's a whole different ballgame, and we can touch upon that a little bit. There's so much to talk about relative to melatonin. It's like incredible. And, you know, I'm excited about it simply because of the fact, guess what? You know, I told you, I got hurt a couple years ago, and it activated all kinds of things in my body. So I want to kind of pick it apart. I want to share that information with you because it's well-researched, except like so many other things, it hasn't been put out on the marketplace. Melatonin has been studied constantly relative to degenerative neurological disease, stroke and mental illness and moods and things of that nature. But for whatever reason, we're afraid, meaning physicians clinically, we're afraid to use it in the way that it needs to be used. And we have to track it down. What was the initiator? What's the energetic platforms? What are, you know, what's the dietary patterns that people are exposed to? We have to look at all of those things together to try to shift and change. Poor brain function can show up as a minor, oh, I forgot where my keys are, you know, type of thing. Or what did I walk into this room for? You know, that old age thing that we talk about all the time. It can happen to at a much younger age. So brain fog, you know, all the way to severe end-stage degenerative conditions such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease, and even, by the way, ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And I've unfortunately had several patients over the years that have died from that. We've helped them as best we could. Had I known about this years ago, maybe I might have been able to help them better than I could at the time. And, you know, that's why somebody asked me, he said, why do you keep doing what you're doing after you've been in practice coming up 46 years? Is because simply this, I want the best for you. I want the best for the people I care about, the people that I love. And we want to make sure that we have the ability to, you know, to continue to move forward, to understand things more clearly, to understand a better way of getting people to optimize their health and their God-given capacity. And if we don't do that, if we don't continue to serve each other and serve mankind, then, I've had damage to my body, you know, my low back, my both hips, my neck and shoulder. And thank God from chiropractic and acupuncture and things that we do in our office, I've been able to, stem the debilitation. I've been able to go on and do the things I need to do. You know, last year there came a point after that injury where I had to stop working. I couldn't move and couldn't figure out what it was. But what happened was a huge consequence to my body because of the storage, if you will, of Epstein-Barr virus in my body. And so as a result, you know, things began to show up, right? Like I got dizzy, and patients who are suffering vertigo and they have that POTS recognition, their heart's flipping around, they have cognitive issues and so forth. It's amazing that the literature shows that melatonin can cause a huge reversal in a lot of this, and it's a disruption of that. You have to break up that crystalline formation in the pineal gland. You have to make sure that you supply adequate amounts so the body can reset itself so that circadian rhythm can get back to normal. All these things are possible. I came back from a conference this weekend on regenerative medicine, and I learned a few more nuances than I had been aware of, but one that got me really excited, and it was the relationship of melatonin to inflammatory pathways and the treatment, and to reduce all kinds of things, including the damage, or if you will call it infarct-sized or blood vessel blowout, if you will. I'll use it that way so we can all understand it, and neurodegenerative consequences. And there were some very bright people. One of the guys were quoting from the annals of the New York Academy of Sciences and had iterated some findings that suggested that retardation of the brain aging process, this, you know, forgetfulness that we go through by chronic, you know, if we treat with melatonin in addition to normalizing exposures and reinstituting normal neurological connections, meaning cranial plates that have been injured over a period of many years or things of that nature, that in fact they can get a huge amelioration when used cooperatively. So we have to make sure that we understand that there are other sources. So this Wednesday evening, what I want to do is I want to have a kind of a grand round session with everybody. I want to talk to you about what's been taking place, what's happening, why you can't get out of the conditions you are, what kind of meds are you on? Are they suppressing? Are they helping you? You know, have you seen changes, or are you kind of stuck at that place that you can't quite get your fingers around it? We're going to do that this Wednesday, the 7th, 6 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing. Join me. Let's have some fun together. Let's see if we can, you know, put together a game plan for you that you can do, that 2023 is going to be the most productive and heartwarming and effective year that you've had since you can remember. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for myself. I want to make sure that, you know, that I can continue the process ongoing to serve you as best as I possibly can happen. So what happens in the brain? I want to talk about for the second, because we know the initiator can be trauma, but what happens to the brain when there's a melatonin deficiency? It's an interesting, interesting question. So melatonin, first, we need to understand that melatonin peaks in early childhood. And, you know, the pituitary releases adequate amounts, and then it begins to downgrade, right? And melatonin continues to decline by the time we hit middle age. And then, you know, as we get older, it's like, oh, it's not there anymore. So that means that we need a lot more. So we're going to be more susceptible, if you will, to all kinds of neurological damage. And with patients, there was an interesting study that Alzheimer's and Parkinson patients who received melatonin was found that it helped dramatically. And also, if you use glutathione, which decreases toxic levels, the inflammatory levels, then melatonin could be triggered much more easily. But there's ways of making that happen, and we're going to discuss that as well. I'm incredibly excited, as you might be able to tell. You know, once I come back with something that's really usable and impactful, so many patients, you know, that I've treated over the years, and we've helped them, and some of them helped them a lot with Parkinson's disease. And we take it back, and did you ever have an injury? Did anything ever happen? Were you in the military? Were you in a car accident? Anything of that nature. And we found that the role of melatonin in the management of Parkinson's is not just limited to improving their sleep cycle, but in fact, being able to give them more freedom and flexibility and reattaching themselves so their body doesn't continue to deplete. So I'm in the initial stages of learning as much as I possibly can. We're coming up to a break. This is exciting for me, and I want to really discuss it with you this Wednesday evening, the 7th. Don't go away. We'll be right back after some really important information. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roszell.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Roszell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roszell Live. Had a very fascinating topic today, right? Talking about melatonin production, that hormone that is produced by the pineal gland in the back of your brain and controls so many different pieces of the puzzle. You know, we actually could get into, besides, you know, sleep patterns and stress and anxiety, we could even touch upon diabetes and weight that you can't get off and effects of cardiac regulation and the like. It's amazing. And even melatonin will affect your eyesight. It's crazy, but it does. And so what we want to do is we want to talk about this in depth. I want to share this information with you. I get excited when there's something that I've known about for a long time, and then I suddenly find out more about it. So, you know, we have to get there. So did you know that there's nearly 400 times more melatonin in your digestive system than in the nervous system? So the melatonin affects your gut. And what did we say about the gut? It produces 75% of your immunological responses throughout the whole entire system. Crazy, right? This is amazing. So we're going to do a program on it Wednesday night. I just decided that, you know, this is really what has to be. Dr. Cowart will join me. But I'm going to be your presenter this Wednesday evening, the 7th Wednesday at 6 p.m. at the Roszell Center for Healing. Make sure you call and reserve your seat early, because if you don't, we're not going to be able to say yes, join us. But please, please join me. I really want to share this with you. We're going to get in and we're going to talk about its impact on the regulation of so many immunological conditions. Impacts are obvious relative to, as far as I'm concerned, but it makes perfect sense that it would support other people suffering from things like chronic viral infections and Lyme and mold and so forth. You have something called the glymphatic system. Okay, you've heard about the lymphatic system. Well, the glymphatic system has to do with the brain. It has to do with your brain's ability to get rid of toxins and waste and so forth. Now, we already said in the beginning of the program and repetitively throughout the program that the pineal gland, this little gland in the back of your head, gets encrustated. So it can't be stimulated normally. Why? Because it's exposure to fluorides and other halides of the like, and even heavy metals in the body and things of that nature. And we'll talk about that this Wednesday evening. We're going to try to just touch on very specific topics, but we're going to show you what really takes place, how, if there's injury and brain damage, that all of a sudden, you know, your body down-regulates. We'll use the term down-regulation. Your immune system becomes compromised. You seem to can't get rid of things. It's, body's immunological responses across the board, from disease states, any viral condition, cancers that can be triggered and so forth, simply can't be touched. I'm excited about this because things that I've known innately over the time now have tremendous, tremendous research applications, meaning, you know, that this study is being done all over the world. You can go in from one that was written years ago, Retardation of Brain Aging by Chronic Treatment and Melatonin, 2004. That's how far that goes back. Neuroprotective Role of Melatonin in Neurological Disorders, the Journal of Neurological Research. Wow, right? Some top shelf people. Something called hyperphosphorylation of microtubules, these little transport guys that are associated with transporting different neurotransmitters, proteins, if you will, within the brain, and the impact it has with Alzheimer's. There's so much out there that is not being published, like usual, but we're going to touch upon it. And I mean, just we're going to touch upon it, but we're going to talk about how it's affecting you and what we can do about it. We're going to talk about things like quercetin and indoles and isoflavones and things of that nature, all crazy things. But what do they mean? They're anti-inflammatories. They're things that decrease the body's capacity to do what it's supposed to be doing. It causes a barrier. Your body can't get it through. So we're going to do that. We're coming up to the end of the program, and I'll see you this Wednesday evening. Join me, 6 p.m. And I keep doing this and keep doing the research for one reason only, simply this. I love you all. See you Wednesday night.